of the outspoken Zion city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy surely fold? With salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes.
Yeah. further to our meditation upon the sacred word, I now draw your attention to the third chapter of the book of Genesis, verses 6 and 7. 6 and 7, chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. This is a description, friends, of the fall of our first parents, and they never recovered from that fall. But we do believe they were pardoned and forgiven that sin. When we come to consider man's fallen estate, how very oftentimes is unreliable to what he does, to what he says, and often through mistaken judgment they fall into error. Now such was the case with regard to our first parents. How soon entered the serpent that fair first paradise of Adam and Eve. It was no doubt a beautiful garden, a place in which they could enjoy the presence of the Lord, but they marred it by their transgression. And yet, what a mercy to know that sin is pardoned and forgiven for his name's sake. So in this third chapter, we have a description of Adam's transgression of the divine command and fall into sin and misery. If you look around you today, my friends, you must admit along with me how many live but to gratify their fallen nature. They have no concern about their souls or the life that they are living. But when we come to the work of grace in a sinner's heart, their object and their desire is to seek and to serve the Lord to the best of their ability. Not that they are perfect, very far from it. But this we do know, we are liable to commit sin with impunity. And sometimes we have to prove for shame and confusion of face, we are not what we ought to be in the eyes of the Lord. Now we read in verse 6 these words. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, no doubt she was possibly hungry, and the fruit very pleasant to look at, an enticement to her to give way and to partake of the forbidden fruit in the paradise that God had placed them in. Friends, how often we are liable to transgress God's holy law. And such was the case here. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she examined it carefully. Nothing wrong with the tree, that's all right. Lovely fruit is hanging on the branches. But where did she make a tragic mistake? Why, my friend, what we all do at times, what is that? Disobedient unto the heavenly calling. And sin and self come to the front. And what we should do is left undone. Now that was the case of our first parents, Adam and Eve. No doubt, they weighed the matter up carefully, but they came to a wrong decision. Oh, friend, we have to realize how clever the devil is to trip us up, and thereby we fall into temptation, and we realize our sad shortcomings as before the Lord. Now the woman saw the tree was good for food. She might have been hungry or otherwise. Anyhow, it gave her an appetite. Ah, this is a good tree, this is. And therefore, why should I not partake of the fruit of this tree? She yearned. You see, often the Lord's people sin against God through temptation of the devil. They overlook the all-important fact that what they should not do is done, and bring them into confused mind, and they realize they have sinned against their God. Now, my friend, what is sin? I put that to a student some time ago. He seemed to know such a lot about better things than I thought. But I was sadly mistaken about the man. Clever in his way. So I put him a question. I said, well, sir, I said, can we give me an answer to this question? What is it, he said. What is sin? Couldn't tell me. What is it, my friends? Put that question to yourself. And how simple, forthright, the answer of God's word. Sin is the transgression of the law. That's sin. And are we not all guilty at times? And we come sadly short. The good we would, we do not, said Paul. Neither that I would not, that I do. We have to prove the liability of the old Adam nature to have his bout. And in a weak moment we can fall from our own steadfastness. So do not we need correction time and time again, lest we fall? What a mercy for the Lord to raise us up again and bring us from the dunghill, to establish and confirm us in our belief in him and through him. So we read, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Every inducement here for her to sin against her God. Yes, it may be in some of your case, daughter, I know. You may be led astray, the bypath meadows it may be, and you have fallen from your own steadfastness. The devil has discovered a weakness within you. He preys upon it to bring you down, whereby you will see how sadly short I come of fulfilling the word of the living God. Lord, keep me stable. Keep me sincere and genuine in the things of God. And when I'm liable to fall into temptation, uphold thou my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. So if we're all guilty in one way or in another, and before the Lord. Now you might say, well, can't we live a better life than we do? It just depends what you mean by that. If you rely upon yourself, the answer must be no. Can't be any other answer. But if you realize your own shortcomings and deficiencies and your inability to obey the command of God and to walk by faith and not by sight, then the power within you that prevents you from sinning against God. God, dear people, are all sinners. And notwithstanding that condition, can they not sin? Sinners can sin, none but they. How precious is the Saviour. Now, friend, look at the matter from a closer point of view. Come to our personal self as before the Lord. How are we living our lives? What is our object in view? It's a very important question to consider. Whether you say, I like to live as best as I can in the fear of the Lord, and to realize that notwithstanding my shortcomings, I do make it a concern within my heart that where I transgress thy commands, the Lord may forgive me and have mercy upon me and pardon all mine iniquities. Friends, pardon and forgiveness go together. So sure as the Lord's people are guilty of sinning, then what do they want to feel? The pardon of their sins and the forgiveness of their transgressions through Jesus Christ our Lord. None of us can live a life of perfection. That's an impossibility. We may do our best, to live a right and a consistent life. For we all have our shortcomings, our deficiencies. What did Paul say about the matter? The good I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. Why did Paul make that statement? Because he realized the imperfections of his nature. They overcame him, and he fell at times from his own steadfastness. Now the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Here's the temptation, my friend. In the first place, it was good food, and then it was pleasant to the eyes. How often are we tempted through our eyes, through our ears, or our behavior, as the case may be? We realize, do we not, the liability of our many shortcomings. So you have to say with Paul and others likewise, the good I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. Now, why is that so? The answer is this: all goodness proceeds from God, not from you. And where the grace of God entered that man's soul or woman's soul, they'll live under the precepts of it. They'll walk by faith, in love, and the fear of God in their very soul. She saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Yes, that's where temptation often catches a child of God. They see what they desire after, and they go after it, and find that are deceived in the end. Oh, well, might we use that language? Uphold my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. You know, I know. We cannot live a perfect life. We are all defective creatures. And these defects sometimes come to the surface, and we realize our miserable shortcomings. And like Paul will say, the good I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. Now look at the case with regard to a child of God. Their desire is to worship the Lord. Are they successful? No. Not in themselves. And therefore, where the life of God is in the soul, that's their barometer. To check upon their daily life, and it will have this effect: they will live in the fear of the Lord. And what is the fear of the Lord? Well, you might say, I'd like that explaining. You would. I'll try and explain it for you. The fear of the Lord is the most tender regard for his mercy, for his goodness toward you. That your hope in him is a mark of divine life in the soul. And therefore you live and you walk in the fear of the Lord. And that's a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So if we are all deficient in one way or in another, But what about our Savior? Oh, what a perfect holy life the dear Redeemer lived while here among men. There could raise no charge against him. A perfect man in every sense of the word. And he walked out the will of his Heavenly Father. And he is our example. Follow Christ. And by so doing, you'll seek to live to his honor and unto his glory. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. Now there's a temptation, my friends. She succumbed to what she saw. She put forth her hand and took of the forbidden fruit. It was forbidden, but she took it and participated in it. Oh, my friends, how lovely we are to go in a wrong direction, and ere we are aware of it, to fall from our own steadfastness. We need keeping every hour of our lives. We need the love of God in our heart to check us and correct us, to walk in simple heartedness and with that major desire in your soul, Lord, keep me from sinning, that it may not grieve me, and may thy holy fear make me upright and conscientious and willing to do thy will and purpose, and to walk in the footsteps of the flock. So you see, what she saw was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof. And that's where she stumbled. She took of the fruit thereof. Why did she do that? Temptation overcame her, and therefore she stretched forth her hand and partook of the forbidden fruit. Oh, my friends, God's word forbids many things, but if we are not cautious, we may be led into. We do need from time to time a word in due season, a preventative against wrong and evil that will arise in our own soul. The good I would, I do not. Paul knew the evil condition, didn't he? And the evil that I would not, that I do. Does not that go to prove to us, dear Lord, the infirmities of our very nature? How unable are we to live that life that should be lived in the tender filial fear of God? And when we are left to fall into temptation, to turn aside, to fall upon our knees, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, forgive me this transgression, this sin that I have committed. Keep me from evil. Direct my every step. Guard my every act. Control my every word, that I may seek to live the tender, filial fear of God. What is that? Experimentally, the tender, filial fear of God. It's a monitor against our wrongdoing. That's what it is. That's a good check indeed. Paul said, the good I would, I do not. But he did it. And the evil I would not, that I do. He did it. It does go to prove the frailty and the infirmities of our sinful nature. And when, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. There we see the sin that she had committed. She was forbidden that, but she took of that fruit without the permission of God. And when she partook of that fruit, she committed a sin against the Lord. Oh, how loved we are at times to fall from our steadfastness. And when we are, when we think we are strong, to realize we have a weak nature that will yield, it's bendable to what is evil and not good. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desired to make one wise. Here she assessed the matter herself. Couldn't commit the matter to the Lord. She thought she'd got a right judgment in this matter, but she hadn't. Oh, she thought like this. If this food is pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, then my next step is to partake of the fruit thereof. And that's just what she did. She fell into sin. Hey, my friends, sin is a transgression of the law. And when we are guilty against God of that sin of transgression, our disobedience, what do? Well, you say, I have to mourn over it and beg God's forgiveness. That's a good sign, my friends. What of repentance toward God? Where there's no repentance, there's hardness of heart. And some kind of froward spirit will accompany it. Uphold thou my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Now look at yourself as individual. Close examination, shall put it like that, shall we? Well, you say, I know I'm far from what I ought to be. I know from Paul's own words, the good I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. He knew it. He more than account of it. He came sadly short. And so do we likewise. Oh, my dear friends, to be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So when we are upheld by the omnipotent arm of Almighty God, we are kept, we are preserved, and we do not then, at that time at least, fall from that steadfastness that we have prayed against, sought after. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. They were both parties to transgression. against God. Oh, my dear friends, if you've got a beloved partner in life, don't lead him into sin. Don't do that. Ask God to give you wisdom to speak in a way that is becoming not only to yourself, but in the interest and benefit of your partner in life, or maybe your children. Oh, I've seen some sad cases in my life where the wife or the husband, the case may be, have been instrumental in the devil's hands in disobeying the command of God. We do need that grace from above and that wisdom to direct our steps, to walk in the footsteps of the flock, be led by prayer and supplication, and to seek that guidance and that counsel that the Word of God affords us. You can't go far wrong there, you know. When the entrance of thy word giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. Yes, friend, God's people are a simple-hearted folk. And yet, notwithstanding that condition, they are strong in the strength of the Lord. And they walk worthy according to their vocation, whereby they seek to serve him in their day and generation. You know, I can look back and quite a few times when ungodly men have tempted me to sin. Every attempt possible for me to fall into temptation, but upheld, kept by the power of God. Oh, it's a wonderful thing when God sustains and strengthens dear people when they are hard pursued by the adversary to fall from their own steadfastness. The desire is to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, both partakers of the same sin. She no doubt led him astray, and the weakness he yielded to her, and therefore partook of the forbidden fruit. Oh, we do need to be kept by the power of God, especially in these days in which we are living. There's so much temptation, ensnarements, bewitchments, and every effort to cause us to backslide. And yet, what can we sometimes say? Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed for the last time. Friends, we are all independent before the Lord. Your life is lived unto the Lord. And that life that is sanctified by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit will be a cautious life, a prayerful life, a life that's carefully watched over and preserved from harm and from ill. So did not I, called the fear of the Lord. Yes, Paul knew it. Others knew it likewise too. So we have to say these Jews, these were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. It will be revealed in the last times. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. See where the sin lay? Temptation. There was the husband close at hand. She handed him the forbidden fruit. And we read, she gave it to her husband with her, and he did eat. My friend, do not we see in this how easily we can be misled? And Paul, from our steadfastness, we need indeed the grace of God. Every step we take, lest we fall into divers temptations. Uphold thou my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I think that's Paul's language. So do not we see in this, friends, that where we are upheld and kept by the power of God, we shall evade many sins that others foolishly fall into, to their own detriment and shame and confusion of face. You know, we do not tell people what's going on in our own hearts, do we? No. Why should we? Every heart knows its own bitterness, and therefore the lot kept back is never known with the outward ear. But at the same time, as you examine your own life individually, then you have to say, the good I would I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. Why should that be so? For the simple reason that an insufficiency of grace to walk as we should in the tender filial fear of God. I've come across men that I've known in business, and I've been surprised how they've lived their lives and what they profess to believe. And I've had to rebuke them time and time again. At the same time, they cannot see where they are wrong. Why shouldn't I do this or that or the other? What is there wrong in it? Oh, my friends, we need a guiding hand and a word of direction and correction. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And if we walk by faith, we shall live by faith. We shall speak by faith. And our life will correspond with our language. We shall live in the fear of the Lord, that in you is a fountain of life. Depart from the snares of death. Now, some of you might say, well, I do wish I could live a better life than I do. So do I. Very much so. I'm very imperfect. Perhaps you feel the same yourself. Good I would, I do not. even as I would not that I do. So there's self-condemnation, isn't there? And that can be a good master to check us as we look back upon our individual lives. And thus far we can say, hath the Lord helped me. And if we live in the fear of the Lord, we're a target for the enemy. Oh, you are indeed. I'll take advantage of it and play you up with it. Never mind that. If your principle is sound and your life corresponds with that principle, never mind what anybody says. It's how you live individually before your God. And by so living that life, you live in his fear. The inward consciousness that the Lord looks down upon you and pardons all your sins and transgressions, and by so doing prepare you for the heavenly kingdom above. We can't conceive, my dear friend, the hereafter. I can't, you can't. What is it? Why, it is a place whereby the Lord's people enter, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And where that love is lived out by faith, then you live to love and to serve him, and you're obedient unto the heavenly calling. You watch, you pray for fear of entering into temptation, and therefore you need a counselor, and Christ is the one who will counsel you and help you on life journey. You'll come where Paul came, the good I would I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. Friend, don't expect to live a perfect life. You can't. Absolutely an impossibility, physically and spiritually. We all come short. Yet notwithstanding that, we read these words. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'll leave my few remarks here, friends.
Our closing hymn is 245. We travel through a barren land with dangers thick on every hand, but Jesus guides us through the veil. The Christian's hope can never fail.
most gracious and condescending Lord God, we now come to the close of the services of another Sabbath day. May we retain some of the things that have been declared, that may redound to the glory of God and to our spiritual benefit and profit. Take us to our abode in safety. Watch over each one of us in our goings out, in our comings in, and may we seek to live in the tender filial fear of God. Uphold thou my goings in thy paths, my footsteps slip not. Now may the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, the love of our Heavenly Father, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now, henceforth, and evermore. Amen.